Paul were two very different men. Peter, of course, was a fisherman. He was a man who was accustomed to working with his hands. Paul had been a Pharisee. The Bible says that Peter was married, Matthew 8, verse 14, but at least when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he was not married. The Bible teaches that Peter spent a lot of time among the Jews. Paul, of course, was someone who directed most of his attention towards the Gentiles. Peter was a disciple who came to the Lord very early. Paul, on the other hand, was a disciple that came much later. These men were very different from each other, but they were also very similar because they preached the same message. Today, some ask, what does your church believe? There are weeks when people call me up and they say, what is taught at the congregation on State Road 15? We live in a time when people teach a variety of gospels. Tonight, though, I want to establish for you that Peter and Paul taught the same gospel. And the easiest way to do this is to present the material in chart form. Gary, if you would not mind just leaving the main bank of lights on and taking care of the lights on both sides. We have some charts. Robert has graciously agreed to work the projector this evening. As we look at what Peter preached, we find that one of the things that he taught was the fact that Jesus died. A lot of Peter's preaching is summarized in the second chapter of Acts, and that's where we're going to begin this evening, Acts chapter 2. As we look at Acts 2, verses 23 and 36, we find that Peter affirmed on the day of Pentecost that Jesus died. If you're following along, again, you'll have the scriptures there at hand. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. The Bible says, him, that's a reference to Jesus, being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye by the hand of lawless men did crucify and slay. And then in verse 36, Peter made the same truth known once again. Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom ye crucified. When Peter preached, he taught people that Jesus died. Well, we expect in most cases that after someone dies, there is a burial. There are certainly exceptions to that. But when Peter taught about Jesus, he taught that Jesus had been buried. And we pick this up from the second point, Acts chapter 2, verses 27 and 31. Robert, if we can move down there as well, we'll have those references for those who are here this evening. Starting with Acts 2, verse 27. There the Bible says, because thou wilt not leave my soul into Hades, neither wilt thou give thy Holy One to see corruption. Jesus was buried. But the Old Testament affirmed that he would not be buried so long that his flesh would corrupt or rot. And also in Acts 2, looking at verse 31, we have one more passage which affirms that Jesus was buried. He, foreseeing this, spake of the resurrection of the Christ, that neither was he left unto Hades, neither did his flesh see corruption. So as Peter taught people, he said that Jesus died. His second point was that Jesus was buried. And then as he talked to those people on the day of Pentecost, he said that Jesus was raised from the dead. He affirmed this in verses 24 and 32 of Acts 2. In the 24th verse, he says, whom God raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. And then as we skip down to the information in verse 32, again he affirms, this Jesus did God raise up, whereof we are all witnesses. He said he died, he was buried, he was raised. And then Peter said, well, I'm going to look at one of these references, but in Acts 2, verse 36, he affirmed that Jesus is reigning. He made the same point in 1 Peter 3:22, but for our purposes, Acts 2, 36 is sufficient. Peter said, let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly, that is, be confident about this, that God hath made him both Lord and Christ. He exalted the Lord to a place where he is ruling, a place of authority, a place of power, and Peter says that he is Lord and Christ. Well, if Jesus went through this experience and Jesus has been raised up, it would seem to follow, if he's Lord and Christ, that we must obey him. And that's what Peter said. The next reference that we have on the board, or on the wall, we should perhaps say, is from the book of Acts once again, this time though, moving about midway through the book to the 10th chapter, Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. Peter was at the household of Cornelius, and while with this Gentile, he said, and Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But, verse 35, in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness. That is, Peter said, people need to obey. They need to work righteousness. They need to do God's will. Peter said that when people do that, they are acceptable to Him, that is God. Someone says, well, what does it mean to work righteousness? What does it mean to obey God? Well, as we look at the next reference on the chart, we find that when Peter taught people, he said that they must be born anew. We may remember that Jesus taught that point to Nicodemus in the book of John, but Peter affirmed the same point when he wrote to the people who received the letter of 1 Peter. Again, the reference is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Here Peter said, seeing that ye have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently, having been begotten again, the new birth, not of corruptible seed, but Peter said of incorruptible, through or by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Oh, Peter said Jesus died, he was buried, he was raised, he's reigning. We must obey the Lord, and part of that obedience means that we are born again. 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. Someone says, well, what does it mean to be born anew? What does it mean to be born again? When Peter preached to people, he told them exactly what that means. If we are ready for the next one on the sheet, Robert, Peter, when he told people about the Lord, he said that they needed to believe. He taught people that faith in Christ is absolutely essential. Again, moving back to a passage where we were a few moments ago, Acts 10, verse 43. Peter said, to him bear all the prophets witness, that through his name, through Christ, everyone that believeth on him shall have remission of sins. Peter said that we must believe in Christ. We must believe on the Lord, otherwise our sins will not be forgiven. Well, we've already looked at Acts chapter 2. But we've not cited verse 38. It's a verse that is familiar to most of us. Peter, as he was dealing with this part of the sermon, came to people who did believe in Jesus. Acts 10, verse 43. And the Bible says he told them to repent. They needed to change their lives. Instead of opposing Jesus, instead of hating the Lord, the message that Peter preached said that people needed to live in the way that God described. And the rest of the 38th verse says, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So Peter did teach people to believe, he taught them to repent, and he taught them to be baptized. After that, Peter taught people that they needed to live godly lives. Peter taught people the gospel that he preached said that people need to live in the way that God has described. And Robert, if we have our next reference, this is going to be from the letter again that Peter wrote, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 11. I think we need to come down one more, don't we? There we are, thank you. We could read all 11 verses, but we're going to summarize it with just these two passages. Peter said, putting away therefore all wickedness, get rid of guile, all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. And then in verse 11, he said, beloved, I beseech you, as sojourners and pilgrims, to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Live as God wants. That was the message that Peter preached. Well, we need to do that because we've been forgiven of our sins. As we come down to the next reference, the passage Acts 2:38 appears again. Peter said that we are forgiven of the things that we've done once we become a Christian. And that is good news. Because of that, we need to live as God's Word says. We want to do that because salvation has been thrown open to all people. There was a time when the Jews were God's favorite people, but the Bible says now. The message that Peter preached says that at the present time, even from the first century, all people can become a child of God, no matter what their race, no matter where they live. Each person can become a Christian. Peter made this clear in Acts 2, verse 39. This verse says, for to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto them. Every person can become a Christian. That was the message that Peter proclaimed. And then Peter also made this point, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. As he taught people, he let them know that there's only one gospel. We sometimes use the word the, that definite article, to describe the singular nature of something, and that's what Peter did. In 1 Peter 4, 17, he said, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begin first at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? He only knew about one gospel, the gospel that came from God. And in this gospel from God, these were some of the things that Peter preached. Well, we have another fellow by the name of Paul. And Paul, as we said, was a very different man. He was from a different kind of background. You might think of him as an office worker. He was a tent maker as well, but Paul had been a Pharisee. And he came from a different kind of lifestyle. He was working among a different group of people. Quite often when we would find some similar circumstance in the world, we would find that the messages of people would not be identical. But when we look at Peter and Paul, let's see how well the message compares. We know that Peter preached about Jesus' death. We found that in Acts chapter 2. Let's see what Paul had to say about Jesus and his death. When he wrote the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, he reminded them of the teaching that he had done at Corinth. And he says that in verse 1. I preached some things to you when I was there. But we'll start with verse 3. He says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture." When Peter preached, he said that Jesus died. Paul, when he was working among different people, even though he was from a different background, even though he was really a different kind of preacher in so many ways, he preached the same message, Jesus Christ died. Well, we looked at Acts chapter 2 and found that Peter taught people that Jesus was buried. Paul taught that same message. When he came to people, he proclaimed the same truth. 1 Corinthians 15:4. And Paul says that he, Jesus, was buried and that he hath been raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Peter said Jesus died. Paul said the same thing. Peter taught Jesus was buried. Paul affirmed the same message. Peter said Jesus was raised, Acts chapter 2. Paul said the same thing. In addition to verse 4, 1 Corinthians 15, there's also this thought in verse 20, same chapter. But now, Paul said, Christ hath been raised from the dead, the first fruits of them that are asleep. On at least the first three points, the Bible says these two people agree. Well, you may remember that Peter said that Jesus is now reigning. He died, he was buried, he was raised, and after the resurrection, he was made Lord in Christ. You know, that's what Paul says too. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 25 through 27, about midway through the chapter. 4, Paul said, he must reign. That's a reference to Jesus. He's reigning right now. Till he hath put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be abolished is death. 4, he put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he saith all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he, that is the Father, is accepted, who did subject all things unto him. Paul taught people that Jesus is now reigning, just as Peter did. Well, we made the point when we looked at Peter and the gospel that he preached. If Jesus is now reigning, then people must obey the Lord. If Jesus is the one in charge, people must submit to him. And this is precisely the same message that Peter taught. We are now, as we look at our chart, ready for the next reference. And this comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Paul also believed in a reigning Lord who requires obedience to his commands. In verse 7, and continuing through the 9th verse, "And to you that are afflicted, rest with us. At the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with the angels of his power and flaming fire." Again, that suggests the authority of Christ. "Rendering vengeance to them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might." Paul said that we must obey Christ. If we don't, we're going to be lost. Well, Peter, when he talked about obeying the Lord, he said we must be born anew. We must be born again. And that new birth occurs through the Word of God. Paul, when he spoke to the Corinthians, he told them that they needed to be born again. This is part of the process that's required if someone wants to please God. The reference that we have on the board or the wall is 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15. Paul said, "For though ye have 10,000 tutors in Christ, yet ye have not many fathers." He says, "For in Christ Jesus I begat you through the gospel." And that again is a reference to the new birth. There needs to be a new creation. People need to be born again. And Paul said, "I was involved in the process concerning you Corinthians." Well, Peter said the process involves belief if we're going to be born anew. If we're going to submit our lives to the reigning Lord, we must believe. When Paul taught people about Christianity, he taught them that they also needed to believe in Jesus. There are different parts of Acts that describe Peter. Some parts of Acts describe Paul. And in Acts 16, verse 31, we find information about one of the Bible studies that Paul conducted. Again, Acts 16, 31. "And they said, Paul and another preacher, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and the house." Peter told people that they needed to believe. And that was the same message that Paul taught people. If we're going to be saved, we must believe in the Lord. There's some people who stop with that and say, well, that's all that we need to do. That wasn't the gospel that Paul preached. Because as you look at the next chapter in Acts, Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, you find that he was with a different group of people. And here he didn't talk about belief. But he talked about another component of salvation that's just as essential. "The times of ignorance therefore got overlooked. But now the Bible says he commandeth men that they should all, everywhere, repent. All men, everywhere, includes each person. And for people to be born anew, for people to be born again, they need to believe. Acts 16:31, and Paul also said they need to repent. And that's why Peter, when he preached the same gospel in Acts 2:38, told the people who believed on that occasion that they needed to repent. Well, Peter, the gospel that he preached involved belief, it involved repentance, and we noted that it also involved baptism. And that's what Paul taught as well. With a different group of people, Romans chapter 6, verse 4, Paul talked about the experience of baptism, and he tells us what it does. We were therefore buried with him, that is Christ, through baptism, into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. Peter used slightly different wording in Acts 2:38. He said, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If we come from a state where we have all of our sins to a state where we have none of our sins, our life has changed. There's something new. There's something different. There's something that is now true that was not true prior to the baptism. And that's why Paul was able to say it is a life that's new after baptism. We've been united with Christ in baptism. He preached the same message that Peter preached. Well, once we become a Christian, Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, that we need to live godly lives. We need to live in a way that's consistent with God's Word. And you know, Paul preached that same message. When you look at another one of the books that he wrote, we're now ready for Colossians 3. Again, we could read from verse 1 down through about verse 8 or 9, but I think if we look at the first two or three verses, that will be sufficient to make the point. Paul said, if then you were raised together with Christ, if you become a Christian, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. In verse 2, he said, set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. And then he continues in verse 5 and following, talking about things that are bad, evil, things that God's people need to avoid. Peter talked about things that war against the soul. And that's what Paul had in mind when he talked to the Colossians. We need to live godly lives because we have forgiveness. That's what Peter said in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized so our sins can be forgiven. Paul said that our sins are forgiven too. In Romans 6:17, he said, but thanks be to God that whereas we were servants of sin, we became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto we were delivered. He didn't use the word forgiveness, but he used the word delivered. Again, it was the same gospel, the same point, but he used wording that was slightly different. Peter, when he talked about forgiveness, when he talked about the need to become a Christian and live a godly life, he said in Acts chapter 2 that people who were afar off, the Gentiles, they could be saved. They could come to God. And do you know that when Paul taught people about the gospel, that was the same message that he preached? Our next reference comes from Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That was the message that Paul preached. That is, any person who wants to become a child of God, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, Paul said, they can become a Christian. We also noted from the previous chart that Peter talked about the people and the need to obey the gospel. And there's only one gospel. That was the message that Peter affirmed. The gospel of God was the gospel that he was familiar with, and Paul taught that same truth. Using another one of the books that Paul taught, the book of Galatians, as this book begins, we'll start with verse 6. I believe verse 7 is on the chart. But Paul said, I marvel that ye are so quickly removing him that called you in the grace of Christ unto a different gospel. That's what they were beginning to embrace, but Paul said, it's not another gospel. Only there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Peter talked about the gospel of God. Paul talks about the gospel of Christ. Not two different gospels, but simply two different descriptions for the same book. But though we or an angel from heaven should preach unto you any gospel other than that which we preached unto you, Paul said, let him be anathema, a curse, cut off from God. As we have said before, so say I now again. If any man preacheth unto you any gospel other than that which he received, let him be anathema. Peter and Paul both taught that there was only one gospel. We could continue the chart, but I think what has been given tonight is sufficient to show that Peter and Paul preached the same message. They were united. Two men who were very different, two men who were often working in different places, two men who worked among different people, but they preached the exact same message. And these men also taught that preaching any other message is absolutely forbidden. Following any other message is always wrong. Worshiping in any other way than the one given by God is incorrect. Are we, as we assemble here this evening, familiar with the gospel that was preached by Peter and the gospel that was preached by Paul? Have we become a Christian in the very way that these two men taught others how to become saved? Are we living as Peter and Paul described? They didn't have one set of morality for this congregation and another set for that congregation. It wasn't that way. They taught the same message to people no matter where they were. And the same was true with respect to worship. You didn't go to first century congregations if they were adhering to the will of God and find one thing here and another thing there and another thing there. But there was unity of doctrine. There was commonality in what they believed and practiced. If this commonality doesn't describe you, we'd like to help. We want to practice the same gospel that was preached and obeyed by the first century Christians. We as God's people want to do Bible things in Bible ways. Can there be any desire more noble than that? To do things just as these men did them. For those who are not a Christian tonight, you can have a conversion experience that is just like the experience that was possessed by the people who were taught by Peter. You can be converted in the same way that people were converted who were taught by Paul. You can live just as the first century Christians lived. And you can go to the same place where they've gone. About 2,000 years have passed, but folks, we can still be part of the original gospel, of the church that Christ established. We can still do things just as the apostles did them. If that's your desire, but this evening that's not something you've done in the past, perhaps you'd like some more information about it, we stand ready to help you in any way that we possibly can. If you want to become a Christian, as Peter and Paul taught others this evening, we can baptize you into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If there's another way that we can help you fulfill perhaps the desire to be a New Testament Christian tonight, we hope you'll act on that response and you'll let us know about it publicly as we stand and sing.
Face the judgment. his face the judgment. I'm prepared to meet thy God.
Be seated, please.